Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to John's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 34. The Gospel according to John, chapter 6, and verse 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. The Gospel according to John, chapter 6, and verse 34. And they said, Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. The dear Lord Jesus, so often through his ministry and his miracles and the wonders that he wrought while upon the earth, referred back to the Old Testament and the wonderful way in which the Lord had led his dear people. And he so often led them back to Moses and to the children of Israel in the wilderness. And here, in this chapter, he does this very thing in leading them back to see how wonderfully the Lord fed the children of Israel with that manna from heaven. And how vital it was for them, wasn't it? They needed it every day. They were dependent upon that manna from heaven for the sustenance of their bodies, for the nourishment that they needed, and the Lord didn't fail them, did he? He gave it to them every day, double on the day previous to the Lord's day, but on the Sabbath they had the wonderful provision. And the dear Redeemer uses this illustration of how the Lord gave them that bread. And you see, it was vital to them, wasn't it? You think how every day we need our daily bread, don't we? It is vital for the nourishment of our bodies. If we didn't have any food, we would soon perish and die, and so would have they. But he uses this wonderful illustration to set before them some greater food, some better bread. And how he set before them this word. He said, Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which came down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And what blessed response there was from those dear disciples, wasn't it? Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Now, may the Lord help us to look a little into this. First of all, look at the desire there is in the text. Evermore, give us this bread. Is that the desire and longing of your heart and mine this evening? We're favoured with our daily bread. The Lord Jesus taught the disciples, didn't he? In as it's referred to as the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. But they had a greater desire, didn't they? They desired that bread which came down from heaven. The desire was for that precious Redeemer, the Lord Jesus himself. He said, did he not, I am that bread which came down from him. He is the bread of life to sinners. Now, why did they need that bread in the wilderness? Well, first of all, because they had got life. You know, those that perished in the wilderness prior to the Lord's appearing, they didn't need that bread because they were dead. But it was those living that were going through the wilderness journey that needed bread, didn't they? And why did they need it? Because they were hungry. And as soon as this text dropped in early this morning, it seemed so powerfully to come upon one's spirit. The great need of a real hunger. And it is the hungry soul that needs that heavenly food, isn't it? That bread that came down from heaven, his beloved Son. The world and man by nature has a hunger. There are many tonight, no doubt, hungering for pleasures, hungering for sport, hungering for the things of time. They've got an appetite, but it's an appetite that is carnal. An appetite and hunger that is just natural. And that's in each of our hearts. But you see, the only way we can have an appetite or a hunger naturally is by having life, isn't it? The dead know not anything. We can never, a little babe can never hunger for the breast and need milk without an appetite and without a hunger. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to see that little babe soon after it's born longing for food. It needs feeding. And what an encouragement that is to see it begin to suck. It needs that nourishment. Now think about it spiritually. What a mercy if the Lord has given us a hunger for him and for his precious food from heaven. His precious bread. We're told in the Sermon on the Mount, the Saviour said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And it's a wonderful evidence that the Lord has quickened us into life if there's a real hunger. We need heavenly food. And as the Lord Jesus said, as the children of Israel in the wilderness needed that bread which the Lord sent, so will the child of God need that bread that cometh down from heaven in their souls. So think of it tonight. Have we this hunger and appetite for the truth? Well, I was thinking of many of our godly forefathers, you know, how they walked miles to hear the truth preached, because there was such a hunger in their souls. It was, give me Christ or else I die. You think of Saul of Tarsus. As soon as the Lord began to work in him, he killed him of all the natural hunger he had for natural religion and for the things of time. And he put in his heart life divine. And where there's this life, there was a wonderful appetite. Well, could he say, give me Christ, or else I die. Just what the hymn writer said. For me to live is Christ, the apostle said, and to die is gain. You see, the Lord was his life. And here he speaks throughout this chapter of the great need of life divine within. And where there's this life, you see, there's a real hungering for Christ, hungering for his word. And how can the child of God feed upon the dear Redeemer and feed upon his word? It's only as the Lord gives them faith. There's a real sacred feeding ground, if I may put it like that, upon the dear Redeemer. Feeding by faith upon him. Feeding by faith upon his sufferings, his agonies, his death. Oh, for the hungry soul to be led into the Garden of Gethsemane and to the foot of the cross by living faith and to feed there. I'll tell you what, sinner. You'll never forget when the Lord gives you that heavenly food as you wait around the cross and go by faith into the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, to feed upon his sufferings, his agonies. And how can we feed upon them? Well, as he reveals to you that he suffered, bled and died for you, and your soul will meditate and feed upon him. And look how they fed under his ministry. The words that he spoke to them. Oh, you think of those dear disciples and the dear women, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Christ and others. They knew what it was to feed upon. He was their life. He was their all. And they could feed upon him. I often think of that word, what Jesus said. Well, I think it was when his parents sought him to find him. And he said, wish ye not that I'm about my Father's business? And then too, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And oh, how sacred, you know, when we have that meat to eat that the world knows nothing of. And we are led to view those pierced hands and pierced side, and we're like Thomas, we view him as our Lord and my God, he says. And faith was embracing the Saviour and feeding upon him. That bread from heaven. And well, as he declares to them that he is that bread from heaven, well could they say unto him, Lord, evermore give us that bread. But then I want to look at it in this way. We think about the real feeding upon his word. Do we not read in John chapter 1 that how he is the Word? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And you see, there's a real feeding upon that grace that he gives. It flows from him. But think about his word. It's been much upon me today. Oh, to feed upon his precious word, his precious truth. How many times do you go to the word of God and you maybe read a few verses, or it may be the whole chapter, and there seems so much food in it to your soul. There's a real feeding upon the word, a feeding upon the truth. I think of what the Lord said to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah could speak it from experience when he said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You look at that precious word. There are many that hear the word, but how many feed on it? He said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. He was a partaker of those words the Lord spoke to him. Do you know what it is to have a real feeding time? It may be in the chapters read on, in the house of God. It may be during the sermon. It may be just one sentence and it's food to your soul. And you go in the strength of it for many days. The word, you see, lives in the sinner's heart. I often think of dear Elijah under the juniper tree. And you remember when the angel of God was sent down to him and he'd asked the Lord that he might die. And he went to sleep, you see. And there the angel of God came down and there were those cakes baking upon the coals. And the Lord said to him, arise and eat. Because the journey is too great for thee. And what happened? He went in the strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights. And look at that spiritually. May we have such seasons where there's such a feeding upon a precious Christ, upon his word. He is the word, you see. A feeding upon him, and we go in the strength of it for many days, and that proves how real it is. Oh, it does. Because none can keep alive his own soul, and the hungry soul needs feeding to keep them alive, and it's only the Lord that can feed them. And notice the wonderful illustration. That manna that fed the children of Israel, it didn't come up out of the ground. It wasn't given by any man. It came down from heaven. The Lord gave it. And you think in your soul today, if you're really hungry, you want that food to come down from heaven. You can't just take it. He gives it to you, just as he gave it to the children of Israel. What do we read in the Psalms? That thou givest them, they gather. May we never be left to be thieves and robbers and take a word to suit ourselves or suit our circumstance and apply it to ourselves. The real food will come down from heaven. Oh, it will. The Lord will send it, and he'll send it right into the sinner's heart. And you'll go in the strength of it for many days. He'll carry you. Just stepping back to that word I mentioned just now, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. I shall never forget when I was so exercised in 1963 through that summer about following the Lord in his sacred ordinances, you know, and it didn't matter when I went to the house of God, it was such a feeding time. And when I read the word of God, it was food to me. And I used to go home to have my dinner, and my mother used to put a lovely plate of dinner in front of me, and I couldn't eat it all. And she said, "My boy, what is the matter with you?" She couldn't understand what was wrong. And I didn't really want natural food, you know. Oh, to be like that today. I hope I've still got that hunger. Don't misunderstand me. But oh, what a feeding time it was. Meat to eat that I know. And I remember saying to her, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." And my soul was filled with that heavenly provender. And I could go on my way rejoicing. I didn't want anything of time. Now, you know those days of our espousal, it's like this says in the Song of Solomon, we'll never forget them, you know. They're blessed days. You think of the spouse there in the Song of Solomon, where he brought her. He brought her into the banqueting house. And his banner over her was love. And you know, when we are brought into that banqueting house, we banquet with our King. We feed upon him and his wonderful provisions of grace, his love and mercy and compassion to sinners. His forgiving love in our souls. Oh, may there be those throughout Zion today brought into that banqueting house. And what was there there? And his banner over her was love. He just filled her. And we go back to those blessed days, you know, our soul was full of the love of Christ. And it's then, you know, that our cup runs over. Oh, it is. We're full and our cup runs over. I love that word in the 23rd Psalm. Thou anointest my head with oil and my cup runneth over. And when it runs over, you know, you can tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I've found. So others can benefit from it. It goes everywhere, you see. Not in and of ourselves can we do it. But there may be those of you who say, if only the Lord had bring me there. My prayer is just what the text says, evermore give us this bread. And I'll tell you what, poor soul, we go back to those blessed days, and this was the language of our heart. Lord, evermore keep us in it. Don't let us ever wander from thee again. Don't let us ever grieve thee. But notice the word, he brought me into the banquet. She didn't go herself. He brought her. And when he gives you that appetite, poor soul, he'll bring you into that banqueting house. And there's such a feeding by faith upon the dear Redeemer and upon his precious word. Evermore. Give us that bread. But let me come low to maybe one seeking soul tonight that you may say, but it's very high ground to come into that banqueting house. Well, poor soul, let me give you this. You think of the Syrophoenician woman. You remember as she came to the Saviour with her daughter that was, came to the Lord with her daughter that was so plagued by Satan and he was out to destroy her. You know, to start with, the Saviour answered her not a word, did he? And the disciples said, send her away. But she says, Lord, help me. And we read he speaks of the dogs, the licking of the crumbs. She says it, doesn't she? That fall from their master's table. Here was a dear woman that was begging and pleading for a crumb. And we think tonight of those that feel maybe in a very low place and you say, Lord, but oh, bring me a crumb from heaven. Give me a crumb. You know, as those dogs were around the tables and there were two types of dog in the East at that time. There were those wild dogs that ran the city. But there were those household dogs. They lay under the table. They were part of the family. And when the crumbs fell, they licked of them. And look at it spiritually. What a mercy to be among the living dogs. You see, if those dogs were dead, they wouldn't eat crumbs, would they? You think of the crumbs of mercy the Lord gives to his dear people. We sing it in the hymn, don't we? A crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave, unworthy to be fed. With dainties such as angels have, or with the living bread. Unworthy of it, but to be among those living dogs. What do we read? The wise man said, a living dog is better than a dead lion. To me among those living dogs. But think of these crumbs, you see. Evermore, Lord, give us these crumbs. Evermore, feed us with that bread from heaven. Our soul needs nothing else. And all you think as you... We think of the late ministry of the late beloved pastor and how many times there were feeding times under his ministry. This is what so exercises me, that there might be hunger in the pew, but there might be food given through the ministry of his dear servants and through the hymns we sing and through the reading of his holy word. You know, and some of those hymns are such food for sinners, isn't it? It's everything they need. And you look at the effect, I haven't really time to go into it, but you look at the effect of us feeding. It strengthens us, doesn't it? Look at it naturally first. It strengthens us. It gives us those vital vitamins and protein that we need for the sustenance of the body. And think about it spiritually. Oh, that there may be. And it all flows through the dear Redeemer, because he's the bread of life, sinner. It all flows from him. Every grace and every favour flows to us through Jesus' precious blood. Oh, it all flows through him. In him a rich fullness dwells and is freely given. It won't matter what you need. When you're hungering and famishing and dying, feeling so, there's food to the soul. And there's a feeding upon his glorious righteousness. Oh, his precious atoning work. And oh, to be led into the agonies he endured. Isaiah 53, he speaks so much, doesn't he? Of those great sufferings, and what a precious chapter it is for sinners to feed there. Looking on him whom they are pierced. And especially when you're smitten yourself, stricken, afflicted, despised, rejected of men, and when you come into those places and then he leads you to view a little what he endured, your soul will feed then. Oh yes. But of course, these souls, while they wander through this wilderness that we sung of earlier, they need a feeding and a dependent upon the Lord for everything. But you see, that part of preparation for glory, where they shall feed upon him forever in eternal bliss. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more sin. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The banquet you've had here, when you've tasted a little of it, will be nothing compared to what it will be in glory. Oh, to have a little glimpse, like Moses did, you know, that we might climb where Moses stood and view the landscape all, not death's cold streams nor Jordan's flood will fright us from the shore. Moses had that beautiful view of the promised land, a heavenly Canaan, the child of God will be. And you think of the children of Israel when they went into Canaan, in that happy land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And that's how it'll be when the Lord reveals the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus to your soul, and you feed upon it, a land flowing with milk and honey. Full of all that you need. So different than the wilderness we walk in below. But oh, to have a view. Well, may the Lord bless this. This will be your desire if you've known a little what I've just hinted at this evening. Evermore. What a prayer. Evermore. Give us this bread. It's Christ and him crucified. Be your soul's longing and theme. Amen.